Today's story connects global trade wars, India's manufacturing dreams, and a surprising twist from Afghanistan, all tied together by one thing, rare earth. I'm going to bind everything together and try to make sense of what's really happening. So here's the headline that caught everyone's attention. China has agreed to resume rare earth exports to India, but with a big condition. Now, this isn't just about trade or some routine export approval. China, which is the world's top supplier of rare earth elements, wants India to give a written guarantee that these materials will not be re-exported or diverted to the United States. Basically, Beijing is saying, India, we will sell you these rare earth magnets, but promises they will stay in India, not a single gram goes to America. Now, that's quite a big condition, right? When we say rare earth, we are talking about rare earth elements that we see in periodic table. And rare earth magnets, these are the end products made using rare earth elements. And rare earth minerals is something else. So in short, rare earth elements are raw materials. Rare earth magnets are finished high-tech products made from those materials. Now let's pause and understand why this is such a big deal. Rare earth magnets are the lifeblood of modern technology. From electric vehicles and wind turbines to missiles, radars and smartphones, they are everywhere. Indian companies, especially EV manufacturers, desperately need these magnets. Whoever imports these materials from China, they already give something called an end-user certificate that says, we won't use these materials for weapons of mass destruction. But China now wants an extra guarantee, something similar to the Wassenaar arrangement, an international rule that ensures sensitive technology isn't diverted for military use. And that's where India is a little bit hesitating, because this new condition isn't just a trade formality, it's a strategic trap. Now let's zoom out to the global scene. Why is China suddenly tightening its grip? Well, this is part of the US-China trade war. You see, the United States under Donald Trump and even now has threatened 100% tariffs on Chinese imports. In return, China weaponized its biggest strength, rare earths, which it controls almost 90% of globally. By demanding this no re-export guarantee from India, China is basically plugging a loophole. Think about it. If the United States can't buy these rare earths directly from China, it could easily buy them from India after India imports them, similar to what happened with Russian oil. So China is saying, no shortcuts, America, you won't get it from India either. It's a clever geopolitical move, keeping control of the market while pretending to be generous towards India. Now, this is where things get tricky for India. On one side, India needs these materials for its EV revolution, its clean energy targets, and even defense manufacturing. On the other hand, India is a member of the US-led Mineral Security Partnership, which aims to reduce dependency on China. So if India accepts China's conditions, it will upset the United States. But if India rejects China's offer, its own domestic industries will suffer. It's a tight walk between economic need and strategic autonomy. And then comes a completely unexpected turn in the story from Afghanistan. Recently, as you know, the Afghan Foreign Minister Muttaqi visited India. And during that visit, he made a very interesting offer. He invited India to invest in Afghanistan's mining sector, which includes massive rare earth reserves. He even requested that India open the Wagha border for trade, the fastest land route connecting the two countries through Pakistan. Now that is huge. So what does the Taliban want from India? Simple. Trust, trade and investment. Now try to understand Taliban's desperation. This regime desperately needs foreign investment and recognition to stabilize their economy. India already has experience. It previously invested in the Hajigakh iron ore project and other infrastructure before 2021. So this invitation was a way to say we trust India to return and invest. Now the next question is why Afghanistan is not asking China or the West to come and invest. We all know that China has made many promises of investment, like lithium deals, but very little has materialized. The Taliban also fears Beijing's leverage. Chinese companies often demand security control, long leases, and strategic influence over infrastructure. And then there are some Taliban factions who are uncomfortable with China's closeness to Pakistan and the way they treat Uyghur Muslims. Now, when you look at Western countries, that is the United States and European Union, they have frozen Afghan funds and they don't recognize the Taliban government. So formal cooperation is impossible. Plus, all Western aid comes through NGOs or the United Nations. They do not give it directly to the government. That is how Western governments create instability whenever they have to. Now, compared to these two countries, India is non-interventionist. It doesn't have troops or covert ambitions inside Afghanistan. India was historically seen as a development partner, not a colonizer. Schools, hospitals, dams, and roads built with Indian help still function today. Even the parliament building was made by India. India also holds moral weight in Afghan public opinion. It supported democracy, not regime change. Now, more importantly, India's ties with Iran and Central Asia makes it a useful balancing partner against over-reliance on Pakistan or China. So by inviting India, Muttaqi was sending a message to multiple audiences. To Pakistan, they are saying, we have other friends, you don't control us. Then to China, they are saying, you can't buy Afghanistan cheaply. To the United States and European Union, they are saying, we don't trust you, stay very far away from here. To India, they are saying, we trust your neutrality and development approach. And to the world, they are saying, we are open for engagement, not isolation. So yes, the Taliban's invitation to India for mineral and energy investment is not just about economics. It's a political signal of trust. Now that I have explained all the different angles, let me get to the crux of this video. Look, the Indian government was the one who approached China for rare earth magnets and materials. That is the reason in return China has put a condition that do not re-export it to United States. Because India has been re-exporting oil refined from Russian crude to United States and European Union all throughout 2023 to 2025. Hence, it is very obvious for China to put such a condition on India. There is no problem in it. Totally respect that. Now, since we know that, it was the Indian government who approached China. That means the Indian government is very well aware of the consequences that may appear. When I say consequences, I mean the pressure or backlash that may arise from the Western countries, especially from Donald Trump. And then if you look at Taliban's invitation to India for mineral and energy investment, one thing that you have to understand is that when you are getting something ready-made compared to something that you will have to take out from scratch and then process it, there's a huge difference. So by asking China, India will get the rare earth easier, faster and cheaper. But then India also has the production capacity to start mining activities in Afghanistan. Now Indian government has to balance these two situations. Even China is aware of India's dilemma with the West as well as India's option to form an Afghan mineral access. That is why China's offer to export rare earths to India is like a strategic reaction, meant to keep India close and prevent it from forming an Afghan mineral access, as well as plug the loophole of US getting it indirectly from India. Because as you know, rare earth minerals and lithium are the new oil. They power electric vehicles, batteries, chips and electronics, renewable energy systems. Whoever controls these resources controls future technology and energy independence. Now imagine this. Afghanistan has the resources. India has the technology and manufacturing potential. China currently dominates the global supply chain. So the competition is over who links with whom. And Afghanistan just became the swing state of the mineral world. This is less about trade and more about geo-economic positioning, where minerals are the new diplomacy tools. And in all this, Afghanistan, the country once caught between wars, is quietly becoming the new battleground for minerals, influence and power. Because in the 21st century, whoever controls lithium and rare earths, they control the future itself. Now, if you look at India's demand for rare earths, it is already around 4,000 tons per year, and it is set to double by 2030. Now, what's India doing about it? Two things, short-term resilience and long-term self-reliance. In short-term, India hasn't accepted China's anti-diversion clauses yet, but it is still managing supplies through end-user certificates. And in long-term, the government is taking major steps, approving 7,300 crore plan to boost domestic magnet production, launching a national critical mineral stockpile, kind of like a backup reserve for emergencies. And then through its company, Kabil, India is signing deals with countries that are rich in rare earths, and Afghanistan's offer fits perfectly here. So where does this all lead? We are watching a global tug of war. China wants to keep control, the US wants to break that control, and India is caught in the middle, but smartly turning this challenge into an opportunity. If India plays it right, Afghanistan could become its new mineral partner, and India could move one step closer to Atmanirbhar, self-reliance, in one of the most critical sectors of the future. This isn't just about trade, it's about who controls the building blocks of modern technology and who shapes the future of global power. I hope you found this video informative. I'll see you in the next one.